Savior Jesus Christ.
Right?
We begin this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our readings.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Exodus, the third chapter, reading from the first verse.
Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Oreb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I know, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? And what shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading for this morning comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, reading from the first verse. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or by a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his name. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God, our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
In our gospel lesson for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, Jesus tells us that human relationships end with death, but the relationship that we have with God lasts into all eternity. It's found in the book of St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be, for the seven had her as a wife?" And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the next hymn, "Forever Reign."
I'm running to your arms.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I've never been to the Grand Cayman Islands. I've been told about it. I've been told about how beautiful it is. But if you ever get the chance to go, I've been told you should go. And if you do go, you can do the one of the many things that they're known for. You can go snorkeling. I hear there's a lot to see, a lot of fish life and all that kind of fun stuff. One of the things that you might see, though, if you go there, is a shipwreck, a very specific shipwreck, a ship called Callie. Callie was built in the early 1900s, and it was not designed to carry a diesel engine. Yet in the 1920s, that's exactly what they put on it. They put on a diesel engine. The diesel engine shook good old ship Callie, and the rivets came loose. Somewhere in the 1940s, it was loaded up with 30,000 bags of rice, and it sprung a leak. Do you guys know what happens to rice when it gets wet? It expands, and it gets bigger, and the whole boat broke. It breached, and it sank. And it's one of the many sights that you can see if you go to the Cayman Islands. I sometimes wonder, in an example like this, in a situation like this, what that captain must have felt. You know, he gets up every day, he goes to work, he does the same thing every day, day in and day out for who knows how many years, and he gets up one morning and it's just like any other day. And he goes to work and he's steering the boat, the ship, and all of a sudden today seems a little different. Seems to be going just a little bit lower. And then a little bit lower. And then yet again, a little bit. Until eventually, it's undeniable he has to get off the boat. But today started just like any other day. Right in the midst of the daily grind, the ship went down. In Exodus 3, we see this image of Moses in the burning bush. And I know everybody knows the story. Everybody knows the story of Moses. But humor me for a little bit. I'm going to kind of do a recap because you really don't understand the story to its full potential until you have the context. So Moses is born in Egypt at a very tumultuous time for the Hebrews. Pharaoh is killing the children, afraid that they'll get too populous. So he's killing the children. Moses' mother hides him in a wicker basket where she knows that the daughter of Pharaoh bathes. Pharaoh's daughter sees the child, wants to raise the child, and Moses is raised as both an Egyptian and a Hebrew at the same time. He lives there 40 years, and then one day he's out seeing his people, the Hebrews, and the suffering that they are going through, and he sees an Egyptian beating one of the Hebrews, and he kind of looks left, looks right, notices that nobody else is there. He kills the Egyptian and hides the body. He doesn't think anybody saw him. But somebody saw him. Somebody told Pharaoh. Pharaoh wants to kill him. And so he goes on the run. He ends up in the land of Midian. He gets married, starts a family, and he starts working for his father-in-law, basically tending his flock. Moses does this 40 years. Every day, the same daily grind. He gets up in the morning. He starts work, he tends the flock, he goes to bed, he gets up the next day, does the same thing. He does it 40 years. He is 80 years old. He is retirement age. That's where Moses is at. And all of a sudden, one day, he sees something, and it's kind of not normal. He sees a bush that is burning, yet is not consumed. And so he goes up there just to kind of see exactly what's going on. Now tell me, this really isn't the image you guys had in your mind, is it? Some 80-year-old standing by a burning bush. You guys probably thought something more like this, right? For those of you that don't know, this is The Prince of Egypt. It's a very well-known animated kind of movie, a great movie featuring the Moses. Moses here looks like he's maybe 40 years old. Real strong and able-bodied, really knows what's going on, really ready to grab hold of the mission of God and go forth. I know, some of you guys are saying, that's not me. Here, how about this? That there, everybody, kids, because you kids are all like, who is that? That there is Charlton Heston. Charlton Heston. So some of you guys might know the Charlton Heston. Some of you guys might know the Prince of Egypt. But either way, look, he's strong. He's able-bodied. He doesn't look like an 80-year-old. An 80-year-old who's been out in the weather, who's been out tending the flock year after year, day after day, and the daily grind of it all. And then God speaks. And we kind of know the story, don't we, guys? Moses throws every excuse in the world why he shouldn't be the one to go. He doesn't say, "Here I am, send me." He says, "Here I am, send somebody else." That's what I want, to send somebody else, anybody else, really. That's Moses. And you know, guys, we sound, those words, they kind of sound familiar, don't they? They do. They sound familiar. No, not the words of God, the words of Moses. You see, we've all been called. Oh, not through a burning bush. We were called in our baptisms with water and word. God's name was placed upon us. We were called. We were sent. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, Jesus sends out his disciples. Go, make disciples of all nations. We've been sent. But St. John's, we sound like Moses. We've been a little negligent at times. Don't send me. I can't do it. That makes for an awkward conversation. I don't really want... Don't send me. I don't want to offend anybody. Don't send me. I don't know the right words to say. And I don't want to say the wrong thing. Don't send me. That's kind of... That sounds a lot like Moses. Standing in front of the burning bush. Don't send me. I stutter. I don't know the right words. I don't know what I'm going to do. We kind of know the rest of the story. We know the 10 plagues. God kind of says hello to the Egyptians. He says hello in a very, very big way. 10 plagues. That's the kind of the opening battle God gives with the world. He does this great, great battle with Moses kind of leading the way, doing this mission, this 80-plus year old man leading the mission of God. But that's not how the battle ends. But the battle ends, it ends on a hill in Calvary. And it doesn't end with some big splash. It doesn't end with all kinds of miracles or you know, toads or whatever else all around. It doesn't end like that. Instead, it ends with the cry of Jesus saying, "It is finished." And finished it is. Our salvation is done. It has been completed through Christ our Lord. It wasn't a big splash, but it was the cry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And now he sends you. He sends you. Your salvation isn't dependent on it. Your salvation is complete. It's done. In Christ Jesus, you have salvation. You have forgiveness of your sins. You have the very promises of God. But there are those out there that do not. There are those out there that have never heard the word of God. And only you know who they are. Only you know who God has placed in your life. I can't tell you what to say. Only you can know that. As God places these people in your lives, as he puts them in your midst that you can talk to, that you can relate to. This is our mission, that we are to tell others about the promises which God has given to us. They're ours. We have them. Our salvation is complete in Christ Jesus. But they need to know. And so, yes. Yes, you've been sent. It wasn't a burning bush. But the word of God given to you to proclaim to all the nations. You, we, all of us have been sent in the name of Jesus Christ, in his name. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we continue by confessing our sins in the word of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, We come before you this day and we ask, Lord, that you would be with us and that you would grant us the forgiveness of our sins for the sake of your Son, our Savior. Hear us now, Lord, as we pour out our hearts and our sins and confess them to you in a moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgive you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue by confessing our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. During this time, in honor of our veterans and Veterans Day, we're going to see a slideshow featuring our veterans. Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." You may be seated as we continue with Holy Communion. Just another reminder, the table blessing will be saved until after everybody is through. And so I know that's still a little different. We're still not quite used to it, but we're going to keep going with it this week. So thank you.
Might accept as the
Please stand for the blessing. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto the one true faith, which is a life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now hear the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.